Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Carnival Act. That is my life. How the hell are you, people? We are back in another car podcast episode. We're fitting it in where we can get it in, people. That's the name of the game. But I will be honest, I am a little disappointed. I was recording probably for a solid 20 minutes, and I got out some good stuff. I'll be honest, I got out some good stuff, looked down, wasn't recording. So, super upset about that. So I'm actually going to prop my phone up here so I can see if it stops on us. Because now I need to repeat it all. So I hope I can get it all out as well as I did the first time. So, welcome to episode number 3. So why am I recording in the car today? Why am I recording a podcast in the car? I'm on my way to Alabama yet again to see my wonderful, wonderful friend Sierra. This weekend is about her, about celebrating her and her accomplishments. She is graduating with her bachelor's this weekend. So I'm super, super excited to celebrate her. You guys will meet her and talk to her in actually the next episode, I believe, when we discuss a little bit about traveling. She is my favorite adventure partner, so I'm really, really excited for you guys to talk and listen to her and hear her input on things. But yeah, this weekend I'm super, super excited to go celebrate her. So I thought the best way to harness some of that excitement would be to jump on the pod and chit-chat. I hate that I called it the pod, but here we are. It's what's happening. So, today I want to talk a little bit about introspection. Why do I want to talk a little bit about introspection or being, you know, really introspective? I feel like that's been the name of the game recently for me, and I'll tell you a little bit why. So, for the past few months, I have been taking medications for certain issues that I have, and it's been really successful overall. It's been really successful. And I will say this, beforehand, for the past several years, I did not have much mental clarity. I would have 3, 5, 7 on a really good month, 10 hopefully days a month where I felt like I had really good mental clarity, right? I could think about things. I felt like myself. My head was clear. But for the rest of the month, I was foggy and just not clear-headed at all. And so, you know, I learned to function through that, but it wasn't the best way to live and think. So now that I have found some medications that work for me, trust me, it's been a process. Most of my days are either filled with mental clarity or at least portions of the day I have mental clarity. Why is this a game changer for me? Well, now I can stop and think about things without being so intensely blocked by kind of static, right? Like, it's almost like you're thinking through TV static and white noise sometimes, blocked by overwhelming emotion and anxiety, and I can think about things a little more strategically and realistically. Not that my emotion and, you know, all those things are completely separated from my decision-making and thought processes. It's just easier to work through them and quicker to work through them, I guess you could say. So now that I'm at this point where I have this abundance of mental clarity, you know, it's really been a game changer for me, and it's been so astronomically good for me that I can now think about things more in depth that I've been wanting to focus on for a long time. I just didn't have the capacity really to think about extra things other than day to day and situations I was going through, and I just didn't have the mental energy or clarity to do so. So now that I do, I am just cycling through all these thoughts and feeling like I'm getting so much accomplished and growing so much so fast that it's really, really a crazy deal. So I think to help myself in this moment while I have this abundance of mental clarity, I kind of think, or actually know, I'm going to start going back to therapy. Now, this might seem a little backwards. Alex, shouldn't you have been going to therapy when you were in the worst of it, right? If you're in the best place you've been, why now are you wanting to go to therapy? Well, I, 5-6-ish years ago, when I still lived in Alabama, was going to therapy, and I had an amazing therapist, and it helped me tremendously. Since I've moved to Memphis, I've seen a few different people, but I would never end up continuously going to those individuals just because, you know, finding a therapist or a counselor that you can afford but that you can also connect with, it's not easy. You know, people a lot of times say, just go to therapy. It's not an easy process like you think. Definitely worth it and beneficial, but it's not always the easiest of processes. But, however, so I just kind of had accepted that, you know, it just wasn't happening at that time. I just didn't have the emotional capacity to continue to cycle through therapists until I found one that I felt worked for me. So now that I have a little more mental clarity, I really want to start going to therapy again because I want someone to bounce these ideas off of and someone to help direct my thoughts in a way that is going to be most beneficial to where I'm at in my life and where I want to go. Because right now it's just a flood of all the things that I want to think about. And, you know, I want to kind of go in a certain order that's going to be most beneficial to me. And I kind of want some guidance on that, I think. So yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go ahead and start checking out some therapists or counselors just to kind of help guide me through what I'm going through right now. But like I said, it's been overall much, much better. So what I've been thinking about, why we're going to be talking about introspection today is because I have really been focusing on myself in a really positive way. And asking myself a lot harder questions than I was before, and just because I'm able to process it so much better and it's not as hard to think about, because, you know, thinking about a lot of these things in regards to yourself and trying to dig deep can bring up a lot of unpleasant feelings, and that's natural and that's normal, but I just didn't have the capacity to deal with it before. And so now that I do, I'm almost excited to do it, right? So I've been asking myself a lot of hard questions lately. And the general theme of what I have been thinking about most lately seems to be about relationships and where I stand. And when I say relationships, I don't mean just romantic. What part do I play, or what role do I play in being a daughter or a sister or a friend or a partner, a romantic partner, a coworker, an employee, just a bystander walking through a grocery store, just an acquaintance, you know? What role do I play as a volunteer, as a citizen, as a, you know, a community member? Like, what role do I play? What role am I currently playing in each of these, you know, dynamics? Am I happy with it? Is there something that needs to change? Am I getting what I need out of it, right? So when I've been thinking about these things, I have found that a lot of it boils down to boundaries, right? So when I am thinking, okay, if this relationship isn't very successful, or if I'm having a hard time, you know, why is that? And it a lot of times boils down to boundaries. I'm going to try to talk about a couple different situations, but I don't want to give out a lot of specifics because, right, in dynamics and relationships and partnerships, it's more than one person, and I have not gained permission, right? I don't want to just be actively putting someone else's business out there without, you know, their perspectives and their responses and their two cents. So I'm just going to be speaking from my perspective, and I'm going to try to leave out a lot of details, but I want you to get the gist. So when I think of my relationship to my parents, right, my parents and I have gone through a lot. A few years ago, we were going through some things, and I was having a very hard time, and I laid down a hard boundary, and I said, I can't talk to you anymore. And that was a very hard decision for me, but now that we are talking again, our relationship is so much better than before. And I truly believe, for me, you know, I went into it saying, I can't have a relationship with you because of XYZ. And until XYZ happens on your part and then XYZ happens on my part, I just can't talk to you guys. I just can't. And I know that was hard for them. It was also hard for me. And I know they might have a different perception on the whole situation. But I think for me, it would not have been possible for me to have the type of relationship that I have with them now if I had not set a hard boundary. And I have found that in relationships and dynamics that I'm still struggling with, it's because I have not laid those hard boundaries. Other people that are very close to me, you know, let's think of the grandmother-granddaughter role, right? I love my grandmother dearly, but we have a few different values and we have different belief systems and different social beliefs and political beliefs. When I tell you on the opposite ends of the spectrum, and that's fine. Right? That's fine. That's acceptable. And I'm speeding and there's a police officer and I'm trying to slow down, but they're to no avail. I think I fucked up, people. He's not pulling off. And we're good. Woohoo! That could have been real bad for everybody. Okay. Back to what I was saying. So, in this specific relationship, it's kind of like, okay, there is a power dynamic in a sense of, okay, respect your elders, right? Also, I love and respect this person. This person has done a lot for me. I have valued their advice and guidance for a long, long time. Now that I'm an adult, how do I want to fit into this relationship? Because I no longer want the dynamic of an authority figure / parent relationship, and this person really feels like they need to stick to that. And I'm not saying their belief and opinion and approach is wrong, but I'm struggling with it to a certain extent, and I have not laid down a boundary where I feel as, you know, if maybe I already have, it would be different at this point, because honestly there's fear in laying down boundaries, because sometimes it is uncomfortable and unpleasant, and there's a fear of damaging the relationship in a negative way, and will it ever recover, and I don't want to offend this person, will this person understand? There's a lot of things that go into it. But I have found that in other relationships where I took that leap and made those boundaries, it has always come back more positively than before. So it's like, why don't I have the courage to do it with specific people? In my most recent relationship, there were issues, obviously. We're not in that relationship anymore. There are obviously issues, right? And I found that during that relationship, when I started to set boundaries, and I don't say that as in like, oh, I was being taken advantage of, blah 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 blah, it was my own personal issues that caused me to not set boundaries like I should have. My own personal fears, right? I was valuing another person over myself, and not putting myself first in certain situations where I should, and it negatively affected the dynamic overall. So when I started to lay boundaries about certain things in that relationship, there was an adjustment period, but after we got over that adjustment period, it was overall a much better relationship, right? So boundaries, I have found personally, are a positive thing. And when I am not setting boundaries, I'm trying to be introspective with myself and saying, okay, why should I? Is it worth it to do? When and how? Right? So there's just a lot of factors. But being introspective about my dynamics in different relationships, I can definitely tell a difference when I personally and actively set and stick to boundaries. So that's one thing I've been trying to be super, super introspective about. is just relationship dynamics, all different kinds, and boundaries. And it's been good. It's been good to think about. I've been pretty introspective about my time and things that I value in doing, and trying to look at what do I spend the most time doing, right? I have tried to actively get my screen time down, which I have and haven't. So I guess what I mean by that is, like, I have to be on my phone more for work generally than my past job. So there, I have like 8 different apps for my job, honestly, and so I'm on my phone often for work, and I am also on my GPS, I mean, all day long for work, because I'm going to different places all day every day. So my screen time has not changed, but as far as the breakdown of percentages, it's mostly work stuff and text messaging, which I'm totally cool with, because before it was TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook. So what I did for that for myself, because I was like, man, I'm literally looking at my screen 6 hours a day. What the heck? And now, like, that's more acceptable to me, because part of, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours of that 6 hours now is GPS, because my GPS is propped up for 30 minutes at a time, you know, 5 times a day, right? So now it's mostly work related, and it's not just garbage from TikTok or Snapchat. I deleted my Facebook app, so I have to get on my browser or a laptop to get on there. I deleted Pinterest, the app. I deleted my YouTube app. I completely deleted TikTok, not even just the app, like, I completely deleted my account, all the videos and everything. I turned my notifications off on Snapchat, and on Instagram I originally disabled my account temporarily, my personal account. So I have my work account, my volunteer account, and I have pet accounts. Don't come for me. I have recently gotten my Instagram back, but just out of habit of not using it for a couple weeks and turning the notifications off, I'm on there way, way less. So that's something that I set out to do, and it has honestly improved my quality of life. I have a lot less anxiety over social situations and things like that, because at a certain point I got pretty bad social anxiety from a lot of stuff I was seeing just on social media. And it was really damaging, and it was also really unhealthy for my, you know, body image and self-worth and things like that. So it's been really, really good to step away from social media in a big way. And I have to be on it to a certain extent for work and stuff, but it's been really helpful. Another thing I've been trying to be really introspective about is... So sorry. Another thing that I've been trying to be really introspective about is my job, and different ways this job is either helping me or hurting me in my personal development, right? So I will say, for the most part, this job has been helping me a lot for my personal development in a multitude of ways. One is, before, when I was a nanny, I would just go to this house and be pretty isolated, right? And my company was, you know, my boss, which is the mom, and children, babies, you know. And I was also going to school online, which I still am. So I just had no sense of social aptitude or, you know, social experiences. I was losing a lot of that. And it was forcing me, you know, by habit and by nature, to become way more introverted, which is also a good thing. I take that as a positive, because, you know, I definitely am now leaning more towards being an introvert, and I respect and value my alone time a lot more, and I really, really love that. But it was starting to have a negative effect, where I was getting social anxiety and feeling like I didn't know how to talk to people in social situations. And so I was getting a little nervous about that towards the end of that job. And also, it was damaging my realistic perception of normal people. And what I mean by that is I was not seeing and interacting with a multitude of different people on a daily basis. I was interacting with friends and family, close friends and family, and going to one household, and not really doing much outside of that. And so the social aspects that I was absorbing was at the time mostly through social media. And that is not an accurate way to perceive society or people in general. I learned recently in one of my courses that 90% of children's education today is media. It's not school, it's not from the parents, it's from media. And that's really, really scary because media is not real. Everything is edited one way or another, right? Nobody looks. There's filters, magazines, Photoshop shit, like, you know, just everything is altered. Nothing is just real, right? Nothing is just real. And also, everything is advertised to you to think a certain way, buy a certain thing, you know, believe a certain thing, right? There's just nothing is real in media, really. You cannot look at something without there being an ulterior motive behind that advertisement, that TV show, that post, whatever. And it's not an accurate portrayal of how life really is. And that's really scary because younger and younger children are having more and more access to media. I think it said the average amount of time a child spends looking at a screen, whether it be a phone, a tablet, a TV, something, average is 13 hours a day. And 90% of the education is through media, which is scary because a very, very small percentage of media is an accurate portrayal of life. And so for me as an adult, being socially isolated, not just because of COVID, because I didn't stop working through COVID, but social isolation as far as, well, I guess some. I wasn't going out or doing things publicly or going to grocery stores or anything like I would have been before. But, you know, just being isolated and the fact my job and my schoolwork didn't require me to be around anybody, hardly ever. So, circling back to this job and how this job is helping me, I am now going into people's homes, right? I have 5 different lessons a day, 5 days a week. So that means I'm going into different people's homes every single day. And just seeing the average person is so nice and so refreshing. And it's not just my small bubble and then what social media tells us is average, right? Social media tells us the average woman looks and acts a certain way, right? When really an average woman is a completely different size, a completely different shape. Like, it's a multitude of different things, and I felt like I was underexposed for a long time, and this just threw me right back into the trenches of the world and with people. And I really, really have valued that because I just forgot. I forgot what a normal person is on just a general level, and going into people's homes and just talking to people. And, you know, I also got to a place where I was becoming a bit of a skeptic and my outlook on life was not as positive. And just going into these people's homes and talking to people and, you know, the kind of work that I do, most people are generally happy to see me and nice and thankful, and it's good interactions, and it's just been so good to get back out and socialize. It's helped me with my social anxiety. It's helped me with my people skills, right? Because I felt like I was losing a lot of those things because for 3 years I was very just, you know, in a bubble. So it's been really positive for me in that aspect. Another aspect is kind of bounces off the boundaries thing I was talking about earlier. But the other aspect is just having harder conversations. This job is teaching me how to have harder conversations in the best way. And that, you know, people pleasing and being nice is not always the actual nicest thing to do. The nicest thing you can do is to be honest with people and set realistic expectations and goals, and to be upfront with people when they're not doing something correct, to manage their expectations and your own, because at the end of the day, that's going to make everybody happier. And you may be wondering, well, Alex, how do you do that if you're just a dog trainer, right? So let's say I'm training, right? The dog is not improving. The person's telling me they're practicing. But then when I say, okay, let's go ahead and get their training collar out, right? And they're like, oh, how do I turn this on? Prime example, you know, that tells me you haven't been working with this collar. So then you have to have a conversation with someone saying, listen, you know, the dog is doing great, but if we don't practice with him every day, this is just not going to happen. You know, you have to do your part, or, you know, telling people things they don't want to hear, as far as, oh, well, this behavior might be something that they just do and we can't fix, or, you know, just a multitude of different things, just telling people what they might not necessarily want to hear, but I'm there for the overall success of their dog's education and their quality of life and ties to their pet, right? And it's a big deal, because if you're a dog owner, that affects almost every aspect of your life. So I want it to ultimately be successful and happy, and you called me over for my advice and my expertise that I was given through this company, but it also may not be what you want to hear, right? So before, those conversations were harder with me. We actually have a coworker who when I was training, we have different personalities. I like her a lot, and we have different personalities, and training with her was really, really beneficial for me, because she had those hard conversations in such a blunt way, but that was not mean. And I could still see that these people still liked her and respected her and valued her opinion. And so for me, I was like, oh, they don't think she's mean and awful. They're like respecting her. And so for me, as a person who like wants to be a people pleaser necessarily, I guess you can say, is I would have said the same things in a beat around the bush kind of, you know, less obvious way, and try to say it a lot more softly and nicely, and takes a little more time and blah, blah, blah. When really, I don't have to do that. That's a lot more energy, and people don't value that as much. People at the end of the day, I think, generally would value more just bluntness and honesty, even if it's a little more uncomfortable. And so this job is really, really helping me with how I talk to people in different situations, and being more confident in myself, and having just those harder conversations, which is something I've really, really struggled with in my life. And so I think this job is being really, really good for me for that. And so I'm really, really happy. It's something that I've been thinking about a lot, because I want to go forward in jobs and thinking, okay, how much value is this adding to my life, right? Okay, is this removing any value from my life, right? And to weigh pros and cons, and to think about those things in depth and see what's best for yourself, because it's not just about money. Thankfully, I'm in a position where I can look for jobs to where it's not just about money. I know not everybody has that option, and I'm very, very grateful that I now have that option to do, because I haven't had that option for long, right? It's been just about money, and now I feel like I have certain skill sets where I can go into the world and think about my job and aspects in terms of more than just, you know, is this going to be the most financially beneficial for me? Like, what else can I get from this? So it's really nice to stop and think about that and weigh out your options. And so far, this job has just been so valuable to me for my personal development. So I've been really thinking about that, and been really introspective about that. Also, so I can catch myself in the moments, and I have been, like, in a moment, a hard conversation, I'm like, this is a conversation that's going to help you, right? And so it's been really, really cool to think about in that way. So I've just been really introspective about my job and how it's been helping me lately. So speaking of introspection, I think I want to answer a couple questions for myself, right? I want to ask a couple questions that I found online. I went to a couple cool sites to find questions that I wanted to ask and think about on the podcast, and just kind of hear my thought process. Maybe it'll help some other people, maybe it won't, but I just think it's cool to listen to people's thought processes. So what I did is I went and screenshotted just a list of different questions, but I didn't fully read them because I wanted my thought process to be initial, so I can think out loud and be as transparent as I can for anybody listening. So on positivepsychology.com is where I got most of these. So just glancing, let's see, just kind of glancing at the list. Oh man, some of these are like, I don't want to read them because I don't want to answer it, because I don't want to be that vulnerable on a public platform. Okay, but I also don't want to hide and shy away from hard questions. So, here's one that talks about boundaries. I spotted the word boundaries. When did I last push the boundaries of my comfort zone? So when is the last time I pushed the boundaries of my comfort zone? Pushed the boundaries of my comfort zone. So when I think about that, I initially think of like, I went skydiving in the past year, blah, blah, blah. But those are big, right? Like, when did I step outside my comfort zone socially or personally? I think in this job, this job really, which I already just talked about. But yeah, just stepping outside of my comfort zone in that way and really making myself have hard conversations and things like that. So I just really talked about in that in depth. So I'm going to try to move on to another question. Let's see. Make a list of 30 things that make you smile. I am not going to make you guys listen to that. So this one says, okay, what are some words that you would like to live by, right? What are words that you think you can live by? I have a couple phrases that I'm actually really trying to live by at the moment. So I love this question. One is literally just kindness. I went to get that tattooed on my body. I had an appointment for it this week and it just didn't end up looking good. So I didn't get it. But kindness, I think if, the goal was kindness more, I think we live in a time, especially if you look at it broad, like, oh, in society, society definitely values money over people. And I think that filters down in a big way and affects a lot of people negatively. So on that broad aspect, and then just on a smaller aspect of like day-to-day interactions, if everyone acted from a place of kindness or that was their goal, and they actively thought about it, I think the world would be a little bit happier of a place. And so I, you know, can't affect everyone and I can't affect society as a whole super impactfully at the moment. So I can just think about myself. So I really try to have just kindness at the forefront of my thinking. And then something else that I've been thinking about a lot recently and words I've been trying to live by is I understand that I cannot fully understand, but I will respect you anyway. Let's say I'm talking to someone with bipolar disorder, right? And I don't have bipolar disorder. I have other mental health issues, so I can identify on some level, right? So I can understand to a certain degree, but when they're doing things or talking about things that I necessarily can't make sense of or that just doesn't make sense to me, it's okay to not fully understand it. You know, try to the best of your ability, but if at the end of the day you just don't agree and don't understand, it's okay to say, you know what? I understand that I don't understand, but still give that person your respect, right? I think that goes a lot too with like social issues these days. Like these, if you look at it from like the Black Lives Matter perspective and all these people who are so bent out of shape about, you know, people of color wanting equality and they think, oh, some people think, well, they have equality or they don't understand or they don't want to look into it or whatever. If these people would, instead of fighting so hard against it, if these people could say, you know what? I understand that I am a white man and I will never know what it is to be a black man or a black woman or a Latina woman or, you know, whatever. I understand that I don't understand, but I'm going to respect it and I'm going to, you know, support you in some capacity, right? So you don't necessarily have to fully understand, but you can just respect other people and because other people's emotions and beliefs are valid. So that's something that I've really been trying to live by too recently, and it's helped me in a large scale. What worries me most about the future? So right now, what I've been really worrying about is not even necessarily for myself. It's for certain family members I've been really, really worried about recently and worried about their future and how I can be impactful in a positive way to their future. For me, I am actually not really worried about my future too much. I guess what I am worried about is isolation and loneliness in moving forward, because I know the further I go, probably the lonelier of a journey it will be. And that's okay, just because moving far away from my friends and new cities and things like that. So I guess I'm worried about just like adjusting to being a little more lonely, because even here in Memphis, a very small friend group, I'm still just a few hours away from really close friends and family, and it's still been hard. So I guess I'm worried about, making the right decisions and loneliness. Let's see. There's a bunch of really, really good ones. I'll just answer a couple more. Let's see. Some of these are funny. Who am I really? Who am I really? I am a person who is actively working on, that's a hard one. Like, who am I really? I could be like, well, I'm 24 and I'm this and I'm this and I believe this. But really, when you break it down to it, I am just a being in a existence that I fully don't understand, and I'm just trying to make sense of to have the best experience possible and to help others have the best existence possible in whatever state of existence that we're in currently. If you like break it down to the bare bones, I'm just some being out here trying to feel more good feelings and help other people have ultimately more good feelings. And I think that that pretty much breaks it down to me. Here's the hardest one that I read at first and was like, no way am I answering that. This is the last one that I'll answer because this one is really, really hard. Am I holding on to something I need to let go of? Yes. I am holding on to a lot of childhood damage. I am holding on to a relationship romantically that is not fully beneficial to either parties. I am holding on to aspects of my mental illness because I've feel safe to a certain extent there. That might be a little confusing, but there are definitely roadblocks in breaking away from certain aspects of my mental illness because at least that is the known, right? At least I know what that holds and I know how to navigate that. But when I fully let go of certain aspects, then that throws me into the unknown and I have to figure out different ways to cope with life and different experiences and thought processes and thing like that. So I'm slowly trying to let go of different aspects of my mental health issues that have definitely been ingrained to my everyday life just because it's comfortable and it made it easier. But now, as I'm slowly coming more and more out of that, headspace, I find myself reverting back to habits out of habit that aren't necessarily beneficial to me anymore, and I know that. So, I'm holding on to a few things, but you can't just one day open up your mind and say, I'm going to let go of all this, right? It's definitely, definitely, definitely a process, and so I'll get there. Being introspective, guys, is not easy, and it can come with a lot of hard truths and negative emotions and uncomfortable experiences. But I think it's worth it to not stay stagnant, right? And like I just said, maybe you're comfortable being stagnant and staying where you are because it's known and it's just comfortable, right? You know how to navigate through it, even if certain things are unpleasant. At least you know how to get through it, and at least you know how to manage, right? It's scary to move into the unknown and have to learn new things, and because it's just, you just have no idea what's going to happen. So, I think maybe some people, or for me personally, took me a while to want to be more introspective, because I knew that that would incite change, and I wasn't necessarily ready for it or in the headspace to initiate changes, right? I was just trying to survive with the changes that life were already throwing at me, because life just does that. I was like, I am not in a place to add my own changes in on top of it. So now that I'm at a place to do that, I am overall having a positive experience of breaking barriers through introspection. And so I just encourage everybody to once a week ask yourself a hard question and mull it over through the week. And you don't have to dive into it head first like I am necessarily, because there are so many aspects of my life that I just don't even have the time to touch on. I mean, do we want a 10-hour long podcast? No, I don't think so. So I think it's just good to focus on one question at a time. And when you feel like you have a hold on that, move on, you know. And just because you have figured out the answers doesn't mean you have to actively act on making changes just yet. So just go forward and be easy on yourself and take it slow if you need to. I'm super excited about all the changes that I'm going through mentally, physically, you know, the spaces in my life. And so I hope the same things are happening for you. As always, thank you for listening. If you can take anything away from anything I'm saying, I am so, so, so happy. And if not, you're here, you listen to me rant, and it feels good to get it out. It feels like journaling almost, and it's very, very special to me, and it's helping me, and I really enjoy this creative outlet. So I'm juggling, trying to be more self-aware and to live a better life, and it's not easy, but I think it is worth it. So I'm going to talk to you guys next week. Next week, I'm going to talk to Sierra. I can't wait to see her. I'm going to talk to Sierra about traveling and adventuring and planning and all these different things, and I can't wait for you guys to listen. I think you're going to get a lot of good tidbits out of it, and, you know, maybe a good laugh if nothing else. So until next time, bye for now. We'll be right back.